This episode of Masters of the Cinematic Universe is brought to you by Mo DeWitt and DeWitt Law Firm. Maybe you get in an accident chasing down a homicidal liquid metal machine from the future, or a time-traveling car sends you skidding into a truck full of manure. Perhaps a homicidal child cracks your skull open with a paint can this holiday season. Mo understands that every case is unique. If you're injured on the go, just call Mo.
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
What's up, guys? Welcome to my session.
Oh, God. Oh, wait. Sorry. I got possessed by some kind of evil witch or something there. What's up, guys?
Sound like you were having a stroke.
What's up? Well, I just did get a... I might have to have a stroke because I just saw a text from Will that in June he's going to be in Orlando. So he wants to go eat, lunch with Mr. Eric Pabon and I. I'm assuming we're going to Holler Box.
Well, yeah, we had to. So, it's tradition at this point.
But this is just, it's only February, Doug. You think you can possibly in 4 months make it to the town?
I'm traveling to Europe this summer, so no. That's out.
Florida's sorry. Like the Europe of America.
Oh, yeah, sure it is.
We have a Naples. We have a Venice. It's basically America's Italy.
Okay.
There's a bunch of tan people,
There's a bunch of tan people.
But see, I'm going to the Italy of Italy, so I don't need to go.
You're going to Shittily.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, there's a bunch of Italians there. What do they really want to go there for?
Wow.
I'm Italian, so I'm allowed to say that. By the way, I just.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I am Italian, so I'm allowed to say. I can make fun of Irish people and Italian people without having any worries, and Americans.
No. You should still have worries because that doesn't exclude you from reprisal.
Nah. Fuck.
My other Italians are Irish folks.
I mean, they could talk shit back to me. I don't give a shit. Let them come at me. Come at me, bro, or bra, or how does the Irish brough? How do you say it? Brough. Yeah. Whatever you are, fucking come at me.
Okay.
Especially you, North Ireland fucks who aren't related to me at all. You fucking.
Wow.
Look, wow. I can talk shit about people that are the same as me.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
I can talk shit. Hold on. If I talk shit about Floridians, are you going to say wow?
No, that'll be 100% true.
That's fine.
There you go. So, I already forgot what we're doing. I'm assuming because Eric's here, this is the movie podcast. And
we're doing that. It's been so long since we've left off, but if you've been with us for a while, you'll know.
Welcome to the show, Ron.
Hey, yeah. Ron, what's up, buddy?
Nothing new for us.
Honestly, this is a bit at this point. This is just what we do.
We were going through the fucking MCU, and we were on a real tear there for a bit, but we took a bit of a hiatus, and now we're back, motherfuckers. Now we're back, and we are going to talk about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Hold on. I call this Doctor Strange Mom because it's the acronym.
Yeah, that's fine.
So
that's fine.
Let me explain why. It's Doctor Strange Mom. It's a story about an insane mom, and it came out on Mother's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little too coincidental, right? They did it on purpose, right? Like, that's not like a, like, someone had to have planned that.
I think it was intentional. Yeah.
That had to be intentional, right? Okay. I just want to make sure.
That sounds like a Sam Raimi thing.
That's like way too perfect otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about this movie when it first came out because we were actually doing the podcast when this one came out. And remember, we had a couple, we didn't really rate it at the time because we weren't like on ratings for it yet, though. But I know we had some like differences of opinions when it came to this movie.
Yes, very much so.
Did not like
it. Two of us really thought it was pretty decent and a good horror film, and one of us didn't like it at all.
No, I didn't. And I've come around, though. I've come around. I watched it. I watched it a couple of weeks ago, just randomly, and I dug it.
Yes,
a lot. I dug it.
Very good.
I let the Sam Raimi wash over me.
That's what it is, man. Yep. Yes.
Well, that's what it was. Like the first time I watched it, it could have been my mood or whatever, but I just thought it was too much fan service. For the sake of fan service, but it wasn't. It was just a pure Sam Raimi movie.
Yep.
That's what it was. And once I think I accepted that, I accepted everything in the movie and I had a much better time.
Love
definitely.
It. Also, it's a horror movie. Like it really is a horror movie.
You're right. And I think that too, I said, this is like Evil Dead.
Yeah,
what it is.
Exactly.
It's like Evil Dead with magic. Well, I mean, Evil Dead has magic in it too, but it's Evil Dead on a grand scale. And I embraced that. And I really enjoyed this movie this time.
Yeah, Marvel. Yeah, go ahead.
Sam Raimi, he's one of those directors that it doesn't matter which movie it is. If you put it on, even with the sound off, you instantly know it's him.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. And and I love that about Sam Raimi. I mean, just like the tilted angles and the fucking
Darkman.
The Oldsmobile. Oldsmobile 88.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That Oldsmobile makes an appearance, man. It's fucking.
Also, was that Bruce Campbell?
Yep.
Bruce Campbell, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell.
Is that what he's called? Papa Pizza?
I think it's Papa Pizza. Pizza Papa?
Pizza Papa.
It's Pizza Papa. That's what it is. Yeah.
I mean, we'll get to that when we get there. I just want to call it out right now. So Marvel does this, like, thing, and like, you don't realize it till you go back and watch them, but each movie's like a type. Like we have the Marvel heist movies, the Marvel infighting movies, the Marvel, you know, ridiculousness movies. Then this is like the Marvel horror movie. Like it's so weird how they like specifically write the movies like that.
They've done spycraft movies. You know, you got Captain America: Civil War. You got Black Widow. This was their first swing at like a straight up horror. Mm-hmm. You know. And of course, he hit fucking Sam Raimi. It's perfect.
Yes.
He did a Spider-Man movie once upon a time. So it's not like he's allergic to the genre, you know?
And that's probably his least Sam Raimi movie of all of his movies.
That original Spider-Man?
Because that was more straight. He played that straight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It wasn't until Spider-Man 2, that Doc Ock scene with the arms coming to life.
Yes.
That was straight out of fucking Evil Dead 2. Exactly. That was great.
Exactly.
I also, this was a cool like pickup after No Way Home, because Doctor Strange is like on a kick right now. We're on like, this is the Doctor Strange era right now. This, he's been like big time in Endgame and this and all these movies in a row. He became like a more primary character. And then What If's got a bunch of Doctor Strange in it also.
Yeah, a lot.
Oh,
So before we get started, let's just together watch this the trailer for this movie and just see what we're about to talk about here.
Every night, I dream the same dream. And then, the nightmare begins. I did what I had to do to protect our world.
You cannot control everything, Strange. You opened the doorway between universes. And we don't know who or what will walk through it.
Wanda, what do you know about the multiverse?
Viz had his theories. He believed it was dangerous.
He was right. Sorry, Stephen. Your desecration of reality will not go unpunished.
We should tell him the truth.
Things just got out of hand.
seem fair.
So yeah, this is the movie we're going to be doing tonight. And just so in case you're new to the show or you haven't listened before, with these masterclass movie reviews, we're just doing a quick overview. This isn't going to be like a 5-hour episode tonight. It's going to be one of those.
No.
We go through the movie and talk a little
bit
about
it. I don't have it in me to do this
one. I just for the new people, since we're doing this new live thing now.
Joe, I love how you said, if you've never listened before or if you're new to the show, that's the same thing. I want you to know that.
No. Some people might have been here and just never listened. They just put it on and don't listen. So technically, just speaking, you could have been not new and never listened.
That's most of the webinars at work that I do.
Exactly.
I put them on and don't listen.
Exactly. Just say that those two things are not mutually exclusive there.
Yeah.
I was fucking, I remember seeing the trailer for this. I was fucking ecstatic. Especially when I heard Patrick Stewart's voice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got excited, too. That's why I was disappointed when the first time. That's the other thing. I think I built it up too great in my mind.
Well, I mean, also, how many, like, when this movie was coming out, fan, like, theory videos are trying to break down who was sitting there in the Illuminati? Like,
oh, I know.
Yeah.
And how many of them are wrong?
All of them are wrong.
All the fan theories are always wrong.
I mean, we'll get to that scene when we get to that scene, but like,
sure.
That was like, it was one of the first times I've cried and got goosebumps simultaneously in a movie in a while when that scene came on.
Yes, we'll talk about it, dude. Yeah. I think, and remember where we're at too. Like, this was after WandaVision. Like, WandaVision was a huge, huge Marvel event, and it was like their first big swing at a TV series, wasn't it? Like the first Disney Plus thing.
I believe so.
Yeah, so it was like there was so much enigma around it. You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, what's going to happen next? And to have them make the TV series, and then the answer to the question be in the next big movie. It was like, wow, they really got like their ducks in a row.
Yeah,
and we quickly learned that they did not have all their ducks in a row.
Also, I like in the trailer, she's like, "You make a decision to become a hero. I make a decision, and I'm terrible." That's because he made the decision that saved all of humanity. You made the decision that you, for your made up kids. Like, they're not even real.
She had a good point, though.
His was the one in 14 million of the rat coming across the van and letting Ant-Man out.
No, but she was referring to him in the Spider-Man movie, like fucking things up now.
I was thinking it was the Endgame, like where he, like, or Infinity War, where he decided to give Thanos the stone.
Oh, is that what she was talking about?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because, I mean, that was a much bigger deal than him just fucking around with Spider-Man. He literally let 50% of existence die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what she was bitter about.
Including himself.
Oh, well then. She, from her perspective, I could totally understand where she's
she's mad because her two, like, weren't even real, just imaginary made up kids. Like, and she basically enslaved an entire town so she can play house.
Yeah, that's a real weird way of looking at that situation, though.
I mean, you know what I mean? Did she not enslave an entire city and bend them to her will so she could play house with Vision?
She definitely enslaved a town, but it wasn't so she could play house. It was so she could retain her sanity because she could not cope with the loss of the love of her life. And so her kids were very, very much real in the, in the greater, like, Marvel world, just not in her world.
Hers was magic.
Hers was magic. But if you notice, when she looks at another universe, it's the same ass kids. It's because they're real in the grand scheme of things. Right.
And unlike Deadpool, she couldn't even make Evan Peters the real Quicksilver.
Oh, not Evan Peters.
Yeah, oh, I was so mad about that. What was his name, like Dick Monkey or something like that? It's just, he has a weird name. Monkey. He has a weird name like that in the fucking Wanda show. Something along those lines. I don't know what it was. But all I know is I remember being mad. I was like, what the fuck, Wanda? But like, the scale of what she's complaining about to him about, like, oh, you get a statue. Yeah, I saved all of existence by fucking meditating and seeing every fucking possible option and outcome ever and making the right call. He's like, you know, I am the fucking person who decided all of humanity's fate. You just got fucked over because you were trying to, like, enslave a bunch of people just so you could play house. Like, yes, you're a bad person. You enslave people for your own fucking, like, to feel good about yourself. If you wanted to feel good about yourself, why didn't you just make up everybody? Why did you have to enslave the people that were living there? Why couldn't you just go into the middle of nowhere and make something and not take other people? Then no one would have cared. But because
you're looking at it, but you're looking at it from a rational perspective and not an emotional and psychological perspective. That's the thing about mental illness in general. Even somebody who's mentally ill can look at what they're doing and on a logical level say, this isn't right.
Yeah.
But they have no control over whether they can do it or not because they're mentally ill. She's mentally ill.
Yeah.
That's why she's doing that. Dr. Strange. It's not just a whim for her.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying is that's the answer to her question. I'm giving her the answer to her question that she asked.
But like, you're talking about perspectives. Dr. Strange's perspective about being, oh, this was the one in 14. Yeah, but to everybody else in the fucking world, you're a dick. Not everybody's privy to this cosmic, you know, understanding of what he did. In fact, there's a scene in the fucking Dr. Strange movie where this dude's like, so go fuck yourself.
See, but that's what I'm saying is he didn't get off scot-free, but she's sitting there like bragging it like this shit. Like, dude, just get the fuck off your high horse, lady.
No, she had a good point.
And she's the villain of this movie, so villains never have a good point. This is like Thanos fucking giving the whole speech to Gamora about cleansing half of fucking existence so that people don't run out of resources.
He wasn't wrong.
Just because Hawkeye had that cup doesn't mean it's true. Sorry.
It is a great mug. Thanos was right.
It was a great mug. I do wish that I liked
that. Yeah. Yeah. No, she was 100% correct in her summation of that situation. And yeah, she is the villain of the picture, which was also a surprise because, you know, it was a departure for sure, especially.
Yeah, that is also why I disliked it when I first watched it, is I just thought that was wrong because she was such a good character.
Yeah.
And she's not even redeemable.
Yeah,
in this movie.
Also, Doctor Strange was the villain too, in a way.
In a way.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They were both villains. You know who wasn't the villain? Wong. Wong's fucking awesome.
Yes, Wong is the best.
Wong really is the best. All right. So should we start this movie?
Let's get into this.
All right. So we meet America Chavez, played by, and I had her name and now it's fucking gone.
That's the whole reason we gave you the first paragraph.
I know. You know why? You know, I just want to say, because I looked ahead and saw the next paragraph I have to do, and it has another name that no one can pronounce. So I started looking that up. And it's Xochitl.
Yes.
Xochitl Gomez is her name. She is a teenager who has the ability to travel between dimensions by punching open doorways. It's a little more complicated than that.
It's a really cool power. It's like, star punch.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
I also like how they're stars.
So we meet America Chavez, and we meet a version of Stephen Strange, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, who can't say the word penguin.
Penguin.
Yeah. He's a neurosurgeon who became the master of the mystic arts following a career-ending car accident. They're being chased by a demon in the space between universes while searching for the Book of Vishanti. That's a book that grants the user anything they want, right?
Pretty much. I believe. It's a MacGuffin.
Yep. During the battle with the demon, this version of Strange is killed, and Chavez accidentally creates a portal that transports herself and Strange's corpse to Earth 616, which is the Earth that we know.
It's the main Marvel universe.
Right. Where that universe's version of Strange rescues Chavez from another demon with the help from the Sorcerer Supreme, Wong, played by Benedict Wong. That octopus thing was so fucking kaiju.
It really was.
Suicide Squad. I loved it. the starfish. It was the same.
They even killed it the same way.
Right, exactly. They were cousins, these two, these two demon monsters. It was hysterical. So, okay. Chavez explains that I'm losing my place here. Sorry. Chavez explains that the beings are hunting her because she has the power to travel through the multiverse. She can't control her powers, and it manifests only when she is really frightened. She then says that the other strange reached the book of Ashanti, which would give him powers to defeat the demon. But that's when the demon caught up and killed that version of Strange. Chavez shows them the dead Strange's corpse as proof.
Yeah. So she's a fun character. I like her as an actress too. Like she does she's really great.
Oh, she was great. Yep.
I also love that she just wants to eat the whole time. So I'm like, I feel you. Like me and you are like simpatico here.
Girl, I'm with you.
It also left out here a little bit that the movie starts also with Doctor Strange at Christine's wedding, which is kind of awkward.
Yeah, yeah, that was a little awkward. But it wasn't awkward for Steven, though. Just because he's so full of himself that he had no problem with it.
Yeah, but you can tell he still hates it.
Oh, no. It bothered him, but yeah.
He had the coolest superhero reveal moment where he's in the tux and he just like fucking jumps off the balcony.
Yeah.
That was pretty neat.
He like unzips it and like his whole uniform's underneath it and goes to fight the crazy octopus. And then he does like the cool buzzsaw with the fucking sling ring and cuts the bus in half.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Which, how did he know he wasn't going to cut any person in that bus in half?
Well, you know, that's where you got to suspend disbelief a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a cool
Everybody was sitting. They were doing what they were supposed to, and they were sitting in their seats.
Yeah, it was a cool fight scene, though.
Yeah. All right, who's up next?
Eric, you want
to we didn't talk about the second person to read. Recognizing witchcraft runes, Strange consults Wanda Maximoff, played by Elizabeth Olsen, a former Avenger gone rogue who can harness chaos magic, engage in telepathy and telekinesis, and alter reality, as we saw in the show WandaVision. Goes to her for help, but realizes that she's the one responsible for the fucking attacks.
Yeah.
Bet she didn't see that coming.
No.
After acquiring the Darkhold, the Book of the Damned that corrupts everyone, and becoming the Scarlet Witch, Maximoff believes that controlling Chavez's powers will allow her to reunite by traveling to a different universe where her children are still alive with Billy, played by Julian Hilliard, and Tommy, played by Jet Klein, the kids she created during her time in Westview.
Yep. Once again,
pretentious little shits
that she created.
Fucking hated those two. I hated those two in WandaVision, and I hated them in this movie.
Yeah, they kind of suck. Can we sing you an ice cream song and get ice cream?
Yeah, they're like so fucking entitled.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Joe, you got to understand, Wanda creating her children is just a metaphor for motherhood and birthing your children.
Yes.
It's just poetry, man. Like, that's why it's a relatable feeling that she has, that loss. Like, it's not... They're not made up kids. Like, they're her fucking kids.
Yes,
she created them.
Yep.
Look at Joe's face.
I know.
Every time I go to the bathroom, I create something and it's just shit. That's all I'm saying.
There it is.
Okay.
Anyways, there it is.
Wanda then gives an ultimatum that she needs to basically surrender America Chavez by sundown. Strange is like, what are you gonna do about it? And she's like, well, you're dealing with like Wanda right now. You could be dealing with the Scarlet Witch.
I am being reasonable.
Yeah.
This is me being reasonable, I think, is what she says.
Yeah, something like that. Yep, along those lines. And it's like, damn, okay. Yeah. And she is a very fucking powerful character in Marvel.
Yes.
One of the top tier, I think, of the celestial type characters, right, Eric?
Oh yeah, she actually ended mutants by saying no more mutants, and that was that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, she just decided, go fuck yourself.
Which is ironic because she is a mutant.
Yeah, but she said no more mutants, and they were all gone.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah,
that's her version of the snap. Holy fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was a big deal. Big deal comic storyline. Yeah, she is mega, mega. She's one of the most powerful in the Marvel universe when it comes to just like raw fuckery, you know?
Yeah. So Strange refuses, obviously, or he wouldn't have a movie. And Maximoff then attacks Carmitage, where she's being held at. It's a really cool scene too, of like her approaching in like a cloud, and like they're all standing there ready to fight.
Yeah.
My favorite person is the mediocre Tar that's there.
Yeah.
Does he have a name? Is he an actual character in Marvel?
He is an actual character, and I'll have to look it up because I don't remember. Yeah,
I know. He definitely has a name.
Yeah. I'm going to call him the mediocre Tar right now because that's what I'm thinking of. Snake Cock. Doug doesn't know what that is.
No.
It's a Tom and Dan thing.
Oh, okay.
So, under stress, though, while the attack's going on, she's trying to hide. Chavez accidentally transports her and Doctor Strange to a shit ton of cool dimensions. Like, I want to, like, explore some more of these other dimensions. They were really fucking cool. Like, some of them look pretty fun, and it would have been a good time.
Right? They were paint in one.
Yeah, it's really hard to eat in that one, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the one where they're like, there was like, oh, fuck, my brain just went blank. I was watching it earlier, trying to pay attention to all of them, too, so we could talk about them, and I completely forgot what they were.
That character's name is Rintra, and he has the potential to become as powerful as Doctor Strange.
Well, wouldn't technically anybody who's there, because they're all training to be.
Yeah, I guess if you read enough of them books, like, you're in the running.
That's like anybody working at Apple saying they can be the next Steve Jobs. they end up on Earth 838. And for some reason, she can't go back because she can't control her powers. Doctor Strange, she explains, like, we need to find the you of this universe. And then he's like, well, why don't we find the you of this universe? And she's like, there's only one of me. Like, I'm the only one that exists.
Yeah.
And basically, anytime you find out, like, you have a dream, that's your other reality of you doing something. Like, so there's a version of you doing that thing. That's a good comment.
Yes.
Maximoff, to find them, is using the Darkhold, which is another powerful artifact that she finds at the end of one of the movies. I can't remember which movie it was, but she's like, or was that the end of WandaVision?
Yeah, end of WandaVision.
Oh, yeah. She's in like a weird like cabin, like reading this book. And in the book, she learns that she could dreamwalk, which is actually projecting her consciousness into any alternate from another universe. So she takes control of her 838 counterpart, who's just the Westview mom version of her. And she has the kids there. And this other like sorceress that sneaks in while she's like basically like, you know, like projecting her consciousness away, tries to kill her but accidentally trips, which I'm like, you know, if you're trying to do this, you'd be a little more careful. You wouldn't just like run and trip and like wake her up and bring her back. But you know, in that, she ends up dying trying to save everybody, and you know, it's what it is. But Maximoff then gets really pissed off and tells Wong, all right, we ain't fucking around no more. I'm going to kill you all. But he's actually going to kill him. She's going to kill the others. And that, you know, that's how you get to somebody. Like, you can kill me and it's cool, but don't kill my friends. So Wong says that, you know, the real book, that the one she has is a copy, but the real ones are on the walls of this like room that's up in Mount Wundagor, which is an interesting name for a mountain.
Mount Doom was taken.
Yeah. that's where the source of the Darkhold's power is, and that's probably the best place to go if she wants to accomplish this. Then, you know, they travel there. They can't Sling Ring there, though, because for some reason his magic won't work there. And when she gets there, she realizes that this is just a fucking throne room for her that's been, like, ready, like, for her to take control. Because she was the one who was meant to rule the multiverse in the first place.
Yeah. I was going to say something, and it's gone. Don't get old, folks. Just gone. Flew right out my ass. Anyway. So while searching for help, Strange and Chavez are apprehended by Earth 838 Sorcerer Supreme, Carl Mordo, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor. Yes!
Nicely done.
Really fucking good.
I worked on that one. In this universe, Strange died trying to protect the Earth from Thanos. They are brought before the Illuminati, a group consisting of Mordo, Peggy Carter, Captain Carter, played by Haley Atwell. We've got Black Bolt, played by Anson Mount.
Please say his real name.
No, I'm not going to say
Black
that.
Black Agar Boltagon.
Fucking stupid.
The Ohio State dumb. University.
Exactly.
Black Agar Boltagon.
That's a good one, though. Yeah, I refuse to say that because it's so fucking dumb. Maria Rambo, who is actually Captain Marvel, played by Lashana Lynch. And Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four, played by John Krasinski.
The smartest man alive.
Yes. And we get to see Patrick Stewart as Charles Xavier again.
And even more importantly, we hear,
yeah.
And I just fucking lost my shit when that happened.
Patrick Stewart talked about filming those scenes and how it drove him nuts just because he was with nobody else. He didn't act with anybody. It was all green screen shit.
And what? He wasn't in the room with everybody?
They all did their scenes separately. No. They all did their scenes separately, and he said it was just annoying as fuck.
he was in the floating yellow wheelchair, too, from, like, the animated series. Like, this was, like, as a fucking, like, X-Men kid, this was, like, fucking just cream your pants right then.
Oh, it was a wonderful moment. Although, I could see him being frustrated because he's coming off of Logan as, like, the last Professor X thing he did, which was had all this fucking pathos, and, like, he's flexing his acting chops, and then they're like, oh, we're going to cut you a big check. We just need you to sit in this chair in this room for like 3 hours. And you know,
he's like, it's still better than season one of Picard.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So, the Illuminati explained to Dr. Strange that, through the reckless use of their universe's Darkhold in an attempt to defeat Thanos, Earth 838's Strange triggered a universe destroying incursion. And this is when boundaries between two of the multiverse universes sort of collide and will end up destroying one or both of the universes. After defeating Thanos, they found the Book of Vishanti and used its powers to kill Thanos. In this case, the Illuminati executed their Strange to prevent them from causing harm. But the people of Earth 838 don't know that. They use Strange as the hero who defeated Thanos, as statues of him and everything. So
yeah. So to go through the characters that are here real quick, Mordo's the one that's kind of lame. No one gives a fuck about him.
Yeah.
I like that they did the Captain Carter version of you know, the Captain America role.
Mm-hmm. That's another what if bleed into the real, you know, the animated universe into the real universe. So
yeah. And it's cool that like the test flight didn't take Carol Danvers because, you know, it took Maria Rambeau. So right. She became mm-hmm. Captain Marvel in this universe. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what was supposed to happen originally, but Carol Danvers ended up taking over. I also like that, you know, they finally put A. Reed Richards into this universe, even though they used fucking Jim from The Office.
He was good, man. He was good.
He did good at it. I will say he did okay at it, but still not my choice for Reed Richards.
He's only on screen for like all of 20 fucking seconds though. So
like I said, I just watched Inhuman, so I like Anson Mount. That's another ultra fucking powerful character, Black Bolt. He can't talk, which is interesting to like see in anything because his character has to be silent. But basically his powers work is he says any word is amplified until, you know, you destroys everything in front of it.
He can whisper and bring down a mountain, this guy.
Yep. And then, of course, Patrick. But it can't go through his own lip skin, apparently.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It can dissolve anything else, but not lip skin. But we'll get there. Then, of course, you know, Jean-Luc Picard. There are four X-Men. But,
yeah, it was that was fun. Quite a moment. That's quite a fucking moment. So, Mordo believes that Earth 616 is Strange is similarly dangerous, but Maximoff reestablishes her dreamwalk at Mount Wundagore and arrives in her Earth 838 counterpart's body before they can pass judgment. She fucking murderizes everybody in this room. Man.
It's crazy.
She brutal. Kills all of the Illuminati except for Mordo,
which is the one that should be the easiest to kill.
Yeah. Who Strange subdues before fleeing with Chavez. So this This murder scene, and she's covered with blood on some fucking ash from Evil Dead shit.
Well, like, is it blood or is it oil? Because there's a big like fight over this. Because she killed a bunch of those Ultrons.
It's blood. It's Sam Raimi.
Yeah, it's blood because she also killed the human, the scientists and stuff. She killed anybody and anything that got in her way.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was like oil for a while because like they just kept fucking destroying the robots left and right, and like it looked like oil all over her.
Well, this is pre-Deadpool Disney, so they gave themselves a backdoor out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Now they give themselves a backdoor in.
Begging. They did a wonderful job with this scene. And
she TVA spaghettis, Reed Richards.
Oh, it's crazy.
I think the reason that this upset so many people was because there was such a feeling of elation seeing these characters on screen for the first time, and she just fucking
annihilates them. Like,
oh my god! As soon as they were there, they were gone.
Oh yeah. I felt like I was watching an episode of The Boys or Invincible.
Yeah. Brutal. And that's also the last time you'll ever see John Krasinski as that character, because he didn't want to sign one of them fucking Marvel contracts. He's like, I'll do this, but
well, it's because he's too busy making his own content.
Yeah. He's not. He doesn't want to be in these movies for 20 years like fucking Chris Evans and shit. Let's see. So the two of them escape with help from the Earth 838 counterpart of Strange's ex-fiance Christine Palmer, played by Rachel McAdams. She's an emergency surgeon who was a colleague and lover of Dr. Strange, and really like the sort of great long lost love of Strange's life.
Yeah.
A scientist working with the Illuminati in this universe. Before dying, Charles Xavier had told Strange that 838 had the book of Vishanti. Strange convinces Palmer to take him to the waypoint that leads to that book.
The way, it's interesting. Like, the way she kills some of these characters, like, because they're not all power balanced. Like, you think about this, like, Captain Marvel is a pretty fucking powerful character in her own right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Fucking
A. Like, she can fly through spaceships of Thanos's and just drop them to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't fight one person in a room? Like,
well, this movie, I mean, this. The kind of huge job of it was to establish Scarlet Witch as like, oh no, this is not a pushover character. Like, this is one of the most powerful characters in the entirety of the universe.
Because so is Captain Marvel. Like,
up to that point, but that's what Marvel does. They have to keep pushing the envelope. Like, we eventually get to a TV series where a guy has a desk drawer full of Infinity Stones.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yes.
You have to keep pushing it forward. And yeah, she's so much more powerful than Captain Marvel. So, yeah.
Also, the way fucking Xavier dies is pretty fucking brutal too. He's like trying to save her, like her from this the universe, yes. And then like gets his neck snapped. Like,
just fucking just a quick snap. It's done.
It's crazy because Xavier's, while he's not powerful in the traditional sense of power, he's powerful mentally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He should have had Cerebro.
Should have had it.
Yeah. All right. So they go look for the thing, the book. I like that his watch was the key. He's like, something only I would have.
Yeah.
Where am I? Sorry, I'm trying to figure out where I'm at here. Okay. Strange, Chavez, and Palmer. They start entering this kind of like, is this cool like visual effect that they call the space between universes? It just reminds me of one of those, like, those Doctor Strange universes, like the Inception universes. Like, they're always in one of these cool, like, let's just make this look awesome as fuck. And they spot the Book of Vishanti, which is the antithesis to the Darkhold. But Wanda appears and destroys it. Then she takes over Chavez's mind and uses her powers to send the others to an incursion-destroyed universe. And then takes Chavez and herself back to 616, where she disconnects from her Dreamwalk 838 self.
All right. Strange defeats the destroyed universe's Strange, who has been corrupted by his universe's Darkhold. and uses it to dreamwalk into the body of his deceased counterpart on Earth 616. And again, another what if callback. And it was very fucking cool. Like zombie Doctor Strange, you know. With Wong's help, Strange saves Chavez from Maximoff as she tries to take Chavez's powers and encourages Chavez to use her abilities. She transports Maximoff to Earth 838, where she sees Billy and Tommy recoil from her. They're scared shitless of her, which makes total sense. Everybody should be. The Wanda 616, who was in the Scarlet Witch headgear. This is poorly written. It's really poorly written. So the boys are horrified by her as they cry for their real mother. And I'm not even going to read the next part because that's even stupider. Realizing the error of her ways, Maximoff 616 relents and uses her powers to bring down Mount Wundagore, simultaneously destroying all the copies of the Darkhold throughout the multiverse and apparently sacrificing herself in the process. Although it's Marvel, so she's probably not dead then. Chavez returns Strange and Palmer to their respective universes.
I realized that in Marvel, if you don't spaghetti, you're not actually dead.
No. Yeah. And if you watch that scene closely, there's a little like red poof that happens as everything's coming down. So she definitely survived. That was a fucking really powerful scene for me, man. Like when she realized what she was taking from herself, this other version of herself, and that she couldn't bear to do it because she understood what that loss meant and did to her. That was fucking powerful stuff, dude. That was gets me in the feels.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. I also want to point out the fight between Doctor Strange and himself, like the Dark Strange.
Yeah, that was my god, the music.
Yeah, it's so fucking cool. Just everything about that scene was fun. I also like that he like remembers that he had buried a dead body that he can transport into. So it's just like cool, like, and then like the demons fighting him, telling him how like you can't possess a dead body.
Oh, that was so great. That was so Sam Raimi. It was like
the entire fight. Like when he gets there, Wong looks at him. He goes, "I can't. I don't have time to explain." He's like, Wong's like, I get it. Just go do your thing.
I got really excited when he learned to harness those demons and he had a cape made out of fucking arms.
That was pretty fucking dope.
I know.
The visuals.
This is the Raimiest shit I ever seen in my life.
Too. Yeah, the visuals in this movie are fucking incredible. Not gonna lie.
All right, so sometime later, Carmitage is repaired and the surviving sorcerers, joined by Chavez, continue training. Strange develops a third eye as a result of using the Darkhold and dreamwalking into a corpse. All no-nos. You know,
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you use some dark magic shit, you wake up, you got a third eye. It's, you know, you got to rub a little cream on it, it'll go away.
And if you're not careful, Gambit will jump on your back and stick his staff in that third eye.
No, that's the brown eye.
That's the brown eye.
Mon chéri. In a mid-credit scene, Strange is approached by a sorceress who warns him that his actions have triggered an incursion that he must help fix. Strange follows her into the dark dimension.
And who is that sorceress?
His wife. My wife.
Very nice. Nice. King in the castle. So dark dimension. They go to the dark dimension. That's the end of the fucking flick. That's it. That's all you get.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another scene though at the very end, an end credit scene?
It's possible. It's not in these notes though, so I don't know what the fuck.
It was Bruce Campbell. He stops fucking.
Yeah, he finally stops.
Punches himself.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's like, "Oh, it's finally over."
Yes. Exactly.
But no, I mean, it's fun, man. This is a wild ride of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, man. It showcases Raimi. It showcases how weird he is and his visual tendencies and his, you know, just he got to be himself. I thought that was a really good thing for Marvel to figure out, was like, let's stop hiring people and giving them the formula and saying you got to do this, this, and this. Just give them the broad strokes to do their thing. We just want to get this across and go crazy. And
yeah,
like fucking dude, keep doing that. Imagine a world where like they were like, hey, Quentin Tarantino, make a Marvel movie. Just go. And it's like the craziest shit you ever saw.
Well,
like
yes. First question he has is, how much is my foot budget?
A lot of feet.
Yeah.
Whose power is it to...
he's like, can I do Dr. Octopus? Wait, he doesn't have eight legs?
Yeah. He's out. He's out.
Which Marvel character has the most feet or the best feet?
Oh, man. The best feet? The best Marvel feet? I feel like it's gonna be Psylocke. Like she's just all over, very, you know.
But she has those boots though. You don't really see the feet because she has those super duper long boots.
All right, I'm getting totally grossed out by this conversation. Just please stop it.
Wait a second.
I gotta.
Do you not know who Psylocke is? Because if you knew who Psylocke was, you wouldn't be grossed out at all.
No. I know who Psylocke is.
No, he's got a problem with feet.
I got a problem with feet. Yeah. Conversations about feet. Anything about feet. I don't like fucking feet.
Is it because you're the closest to them out of all of us?
God damn, dude.
Wow.
Sorry.
I know Doug doesn't like feet.
Don't like feet.
Because I sent a picture of something and my foot was in the frame.
Yes.
And his first response was like, don't ever do that again.
And Joe, see, you know what? That doesn't bother me because I'm not at all surprised that you did that.
Yeah.
There is no... Yeah. You got ugly fucking feet.
I do.
I'm just saying.
Also,
as feet go, you got ugly.
I want you guys to laugh for a second. Look how small my pinky toe is compared to all my other feet.
I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah. That's weird, dude.
It's like all right, half the length of the rest of them.
Have you done like 23andMe or Ancestry.com?
Oh, yeah. I have.
You got a lot of Neanderthal in you, don't you?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Especially after a Friday night.
I'm 63% Neanderthal.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah,
I got something.
Or I'm in the 63rd percentile. That's what it is, a Neanderthal ancestry. Anyway,
at least I'm not French.
All right, we're good. No, that's true.
Or Portuguese.
We're gonna move on.
God damn it! So that's Doctor Strange.
Stop crossing over. That's for the other show. That's not for this show.
That is okay. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
The mom.
The Doctorverse mom.
Yeah. We rate these motherfuckers now.
Oh, crap. I got to open that up.
Oh, yeah. Open it up, Doug. Open it up.
Yeah. I'm always open.
Yeah. Hey,
Joe, are you hitting your...
I want to call you 7-Eleven.
Oh, God.
I am a movie critic by trade, and until recently, I got paid to tell you people which movies merely stink and which ones you shouldn't screen near an open flame. Well, I'm putting the burden of lousy movies back on you. It's very simple. If you stop going to bad movies, they'll stop making bad movies. If the movie used to be a TV show, just don't go. After Roman numeral 2, give it a rest. If it's a remake of a classic, rent the classic.
Tell them you want stories about people, not $100 million of stunts and explosives. People, it's up to you. If the movie stinks, just don't go.
If the movie stinks, just don't go.
You love me. You really love me.
It stinks.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah. So were you not entertained?
I was entertained, finally.
Yeah.
Me too. So remember, we rate these on the Marvel scale. So this is basically just compared to other Marvel movies. But then we also rate it on our total scale. So is that what we do?
No, we just rated it on the Marvel scale.
Oh, I didn't know if we did it on both. I couldn't remember. No, it's been a while since we've done one of these.
Okay, it's only when we've done a crossover, when we've done
an actual full... Like Love and... Like, not Ragnarok.
Yeah, Infinity exactly. War. Yeah.
Okay, so let's let Eric go first in this one.
All right. Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. I really enjoyed this movie when it came out. I'm blue at this whole episode. I love Sam Raimi. I'm a big Raimi head, and I thought he got to bring his thing to the table. He did not seem stifled at all by the big studio. Like, it felt like he was doing his thing. And I thought it was a lot of interesting story beats. I thought it was cool to see all this multiverse stuff writ large. Visually, very interesting movie. Yeah, I dug it a lot, man. I don't remember what I gave the first Doctor Strange movie.
It wasn't good, I don't think.
You gave it a
3.3. I like this better. I'm going to give it a 3.7.
Fair.
3.7. All right.
All right, Doug. What you going?
All right. Well, it's funny because, like I said at the beginning, I finally got the movie, like, for what it is, and embraced it and enjoyed it when I watched it recently. Now it's a movie I'll watch again just because of all the nuances and the Sam Raimi stuff and everything that I was probably just in a shitty mood when I watched this the first time, to be honest with you. I definitely dig it, but I'm looking at my scores for other Marvel movies and I gotta give this a 4.
Yeah.
Like, even higher than Eric. I gotta give this a solid 4. And again, this is a Marvel scale. Like, I'm basing this on what I'm looking at other Marvel movies and now where I can place it, like compared to like Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I gave a 3.9, and like Captain Marvel's a 4.1, so it's not quite there for me with that, but you know, it's better than well, the Eternals, you know, forget that one. But no, there's movies that it's definitely better. So yeah, that's where I am.
I like that.
This would have been like a 2.5 for me.
That was crazy. Yeah. This
right after the movie came out, and it went up to a 4.
That's quite the turnaround. Holy shit!
Yes.
Yeah,
I love that.
I like it too. I blew this movie the second it came out. Like, I always thought this was a great movie to me. It's up my alley. I like the mystical. I like the magical. I like that they introduced the characters and the fan service they gave me. I was happy with that. Fucking X-Men theme came on. Fuck. I also like Doctor Strange as a character, and I like the first Doctor Strange movie also. So for me, this is, you know, of the series of movies that was coming out around that time, I got Eternals, No Way Home. I mean, I was hungry for a Marvel movie I liked. So, because even though No Way Home was good, I'm just not a Spider-Man person. So, like, it doesn't tickle me that way. It was still a good movie, but it wasn't my thing. This, like, got me again. So, I think I'll go, like, a 4.3 on this one for me.
Nice.
Cool. All right.
That's high scores. I dig it, man.
Yeah.
If you've never seen it, check it out. Make sure you watch Doctor Strange 1 first. You got to get some, you know, it's one of those. Actually,
WandaVision.
It's Marvel. So make sure you watch like 50 other movies preceding this first. Exactly. And then you'll be up to speed.
Yeah. Well, the next Marvel movie we're doing as part of this
is Love and Thunder.
This theme is Love and Thunder. So that's going to be.
But that'll be like month or so.
I can guarantee you that I'm not going to like it any better. This time when I watch it than I did the first couple of times.
Yeah, it's
because it was not good. But
well, it wasn't that it wasn't good, it's just it really let me down from what I was expecting, because I was expecting so much more. Like,
it was the first chink in the armor of Taika Waititi that we've seen.
Yeah, I was just like,
that's what it was, because the guy was invincible. With any movie he puts out, it's fucking great. And this was definitely, this damaged him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think he realized that too.
Now on the next.
Anyway, we'll get to it, but yeah.
The next released episode though, we'll be doing a movie for you guys.
Yes, we will.
And that movie is A History of Violence?
Yes, A History of Violence with Viggo Mortensen, Maria Bello, William Hurt. Good movie.
Well, while we're on this, let's get people hyped up for that and watch the trailer for it together.
Cool.
One win and run coming right up, boys.
Bye.
Hey, Mr. Stahl.
Hey, Jared.
More bet.
Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Good as ever.
Have a good evening. Just closing up, fellas.
Coffee.
I'm sorry, we're closed.
Oh, I know that. I do know that.
Ah, shut up!
We don't carry much cash here.
Don't move.
Do her!
They were gonna kill us.
You saved our lives.
Hello, my hero.
Tom Stahl is a family man with long-standing ties to this community. Right now, this community is rallying behind him and calling him a hero.
Way to go, Tommy.
Great, more reporters.
You don't look like reporters.
You're the big hero.
Really don't like to talk about it, sir.
You sure took care of those two bad men, Joey.
My name is Tom. It's Joey.
You tell me.
Sarah? Sarah! My daughter, where is she?
What's going on, Dad?
They thought they knew me. Thought I was somebody else.
Nothing to worry about, Mrs. Stahl. I've been watching over her.
I don't know what you want, and I don't really care.
You should care about what I want, because what I want might change your life. But why don't you ask Tom, and ask him how come he's so good at killing people?
I realize I've never seen this movie.
Oh, okay.
But give me Ed Harris and a 300 for the win.
Right?
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
Is this like the prequel to Westworld?
Yeah, right. It's directed by David Cronenberg, too, who is he's like David Lynch level crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
And I love his style of directing and storytelting. So this movie surprised me when I saw it the first time, and that's why I wanted to do it. Viggo Mortensen is also an actor that doesn't get enough credit. You know,
yeah.
I know we know for Lord of the Rings, but he's amazing in anything that he does.
I'm pretty excited to watch this.
Another movie, which I'll get to eventually, is another David Cronenberg movie. It's called Eastern Promises with Viggo Mortensen as a Russian mobster. And that movie is fucking intense. Holy shit, that's intense. So we'll get to that one too. But yeah, so A History of Violence. That's next episode.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this because it looks really good and I've never seen it.
Yeah, it is. It's a very good movie. And William Hurt steals the whole fucking movie. He's in it for like 10 minutes. He steals the whole movie. He steals the whole fucking movie.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, guys. It was another fun episode of Masters of the Cinematic Universe, do the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Multiverse of Madness in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Holy really, shit, that was a fucking mouthful.
I know, right?
Good thing I'm used to that. And now... Just saying.
There you go.
Light! Oh, wait! No, wait. Did we already
do our...
We got some people to
thank. I was like, wait a second. I was like, hold on a second. I forgot we already did an episode, so I was like, did we do that? But I was like thinking about, I was talking about Gambit, you know, controlling Wolverine.
If you're injured on the go, just call Mo. If you have legal questions, just call Mo. If you, I'm out of amusing things to say. Just fucking call Mo already, man. Seriously.
Well, if you have been accused of causing a multiversal incursion.
Yeah, that's true.
What about the multiverse?
The multiverse. Mo-ness. If some asshole cuts your bus in half with a mystical fucking chainsaw while you're on your way to work, your fucking foot gets sliced off.
Yep.
That's feet again. Yeah. Call
right back to the feet. You had to do that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Right back to the feet. Just call Mo. He'll get you hooked up, man. He'll give you that fighting chance to make things right. Check out justcallmo.com, the merch section, cheap stuff, free stuff. And go find Mo on Facebook, or I believe on the website you can win a Mo tricycle.
What if you're riding a bus and it gets cut in half by like a orange like spinny saw?
Well, yeah, what I would do is I would remind you that I said that 20 seconds ago.
You did.
And I don't know what happened to you, man. You're on another planet.
I was in a different multiverse. Yeah, I must have froze.
So we got some people from this multiverse to thank. These are our Patreon members. They give us money every month. We stop questioning why. We just love them for it. We're going to start off with founding member Hannah Christ. Next, Mr. Peter Bianco from the Tone Jerks podcast, the Second Button podcast, and the Off the Rails podcast, Brian Gower. Our co-host on the Just Surprise Me podcast, as well as the host of the Sharing Maps podcast, Mr. Will Lehu. From the Signal Path podcast, the Texas State Boggle Chance podcast, the Texas Size 10-4 podcast, Mr. Tony Tiny Raw Dog DeGraw McGraw.
Close McGraw. Enough.
It's a lot of those things.
Together. It was close.
Yeah. From the great state of Tennessee, Mr. Michael McVeigh, lover of Las Vegas, Michael Van Zandt. And last, but definitely not least, Mr. UG Rection. I don't know if you boys noticed, but Mr. Rection, he joined us tonight for about 5 minutes.
Oh, I missed it.
And where he is from, it's like 4 a.m. So
good morning.
He's doing.
Go to bed.
Okay. So anyway, but we appreciate him popping in there for a minute. I did. He made a damn funny comment and I forget what it was, but yeah, he visited us for a brief time.
So. That's awesome. Hell yeah.
And yes. Visit patreon.com/MOTCU to support the show, you cheapskate.
Yeah, I'm in a different multiverse tonight.
That's okay. That's all right.
So now that we've actually done what we're supposed to do here.
Yep.
And I'm going to buzzsaw this bus in half here before I buzzsaw my pants in half by, you know, with my sling ring that's coming out my BH right now. Wow. That's a little bit of, some lights.
Camera.
Fuck off.
Hi, friend. This is Eric Pabon, and I'm here to talk to you about Art of Eric Pabon. That's what I do. You may be familiar with some of my work. I've drawn some weird shit for Tom and Dan, Semantics, just generally for people around town. Or you might be familiar with my work from this show, where my co-host Joe makes weird fucking commission requests all the time. You can make weird fucking commission requests. That's right. Hit me up. Visit artofericpabon.com or find me on social media at artofericpabon, and I would be happy to, for money, of course, draw anything your twisted heart desires. Again, that's artofericpabon.com.